This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What would you do with the money if you really scored in the fossil fuel business? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, Russia's war on Ukraine is now a year old, and the U.S. and allies are announcing new sanctions meant to punish Russia and curb its military capabilities. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
The U.S. and its allies are targeting more individuals, such as Matthias Warnig, a German businessman who is the head of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and considered a friend of Vladimir Putin, as well as entities that are important to Russia's economy, including a dozen Russian financial institutions. The U.S. is also increasing tariffs on more than 100 Russian metals, minerals, and chemical products, and targeting imports of Russian aluminum. The White House is coordinating these actions with G7 allies, including Britain, which announced, among other things, import bans on Russian iron and steel goods. China, on the other hand, today called for an end to what it called unilateral sanctions on Russia. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And Ukraine calculates its economic activity fell by 30% in 2022, given Russia's war. As for the condition of Russia's economy a year on, here's my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Leanna Byrne.
Countries across the world were quick to hit Russia with sanctions after invading Ukraine. But have these sanctions hurt Russia's economy? Dr. Maria Shagina is a senior research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies in Germany. She told me that there are plenty of countries still trading with Russia.
We need to look at the design of sanctions. For some reason, with sanctions, people assume that we impose measures on the target, then no trade is no longer possible. But that's only the case of a full embargo. Russia is not under comprehensive sanctions yet, again, despite being the most sanctioned country in the world.
If you go by economic indicators, it seems like Russia's economy hasn't suffered. Its GDP has contracted only by 2.1%. Inflation there is manageably low, and the ruble has rebounded. Dr. Shagina says that doesn't mean Russia's economy isn't suffering.
So here, the role of China, India, and Turkey has been quite important because all three countries have almost compensated for Russia the loss of European market. But they have compensated in volume, not in price, because these countries are purchasing Russian cheap commodities at like 40% discounts. Hence, Russia is facing one of the largest budget deficits since 1998.
Like any business, a country shouldn't be losing money for what it produces.
All right, that's my Marketplace colleague Leanna Byrne, hosting an early edition of the Marketplace Morning Report these days from the BBC in the UK.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
While the war in Ukraine forced multinational oil companies to strand billions in assets in Russia, overall they've been raking it in. For instance, ExxonMobil's profits for 2022 were the highest ever. Let's turn to Vijay Vaitheswaran, Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine, who's tracking this. Vijay, welcome back.
Great to be with you again.
We've been reporting the oil companies did rather well in the year just ended. They did make some serious money, in some case record profits. What are they doing with this money? Just turning it back to shareholders?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Phenomenal levels of profits. They're spending it in three ways. The first, and most politically controversial, they're shoveling a lot of that money back to shareholders. Another way they're spending the money, though, is probably good news in the short term for energy consumers, and that is they're investing in oil and gas once again. We did see a supply crunch in the last couple of years, and in part, that was because of underinvestment. The third area is the most interesting, and that is in varying ways in different sides of the Atlantic, they're investing in the energy transition, that is in renewables or in hydrogen or other kinds of decarbonization.
So the last two actually tug in opposite directions, working to maintain fossil fuel output while also paying at least some attention to the future of the Earth.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this is the Gordian knot in which we find ourselves. We both have to keep the trains running and our economy going, which is overwhelmingly reliant on fossil fuels. Something like 80% of global primary energy still relies on fossil fuels today. So we can't stop the world today. On the other hand, we must double down or triple down on investments for tomorrow. So we have to do both.
And has what has happened with Russia sanctions and what's going on in Ukraine pushed Europe closer to green energy?
So this is where there's some good news. In fact, partly helped by a very mild winter in Europe, getting off of Russian gas has accelerated pretty quickly. And still, Europe has been able to double down on its renewable ambitions in quite a big way. BP, the oil giant, puts out an annual energy report. And in the most recent one, just a few days ago, they argued that the war in Ukraine has actually accelerated the clean energy transition by their estimation, mainly by reminding the world, not just Europe, but countries like India and China, that reliance on fickle fossil fuels sold by authoritarian governments is a dangerous security strategy. And so countries all over the world are actually accelerating homegrown sources like clean energy and energy storage to support it, rather than just relying on oil and gas from OPEC or from Russia.
Always good to catch up with Vijay Vaitheswaran. He's the Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And don't get too big for your boots, AI. The U.S. Copyright Office has determined that images created by the Midjourney artificial intelligence cannot get copyright protection, reversing an earlier determination. This according to a letter seen by the news agency Reuters. Separately, there's a class action lawsuit against Midjourney and rivals DeviantArt and Stability AI for allegedly stealing the images of human artists that feed their algorithms. Now, one of the companies says its technology can use these images under the legal tradition of fair use. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jess Enduler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.